On this episode of He Said, She Heard, I sit down with actor, producer, writer, and humorist, Mehrab Zur. Plus,
oh, let me start again.
We got some bloopers and poopers. Testing 1, 2, did you get the fart in there? What's a pooper? It's another word for outtake, coined by yours truly. All this and more on He Said, She Heard.
He said, she heard about what's going on. He said, she heard about what's going on. About what's going on.
Hey, boxer!
Now from a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm your host again. How would I describe the view from my middle finger? Just get a cause, any cause. I mean, you can't be causeless. It's a satirical look at society. Came from a Chinese woman eating a bat. It's comedy with a difference.
Call me lady.
Okay, lady, welcome.
No, call me Gaga.
Okay, Gaga.
No, call me lady.
Jeez. We bring a different perspective to life.
We are the AI news service that pretends to care, even though we really can't, because we are not real.
You can subscribe and download episodes by searching The View From My Middle Finger on all major podcast platforms.
Welcome to He Said, She Heard. I'm your host, Mike Fox. Now, are you ready for some natural laughter? Well, I think you will be, because joining me is an actor, producer, writer, and humorist, Mehrab Zur, a Jacqueline of many trades. She is best known for her one-woman show, Inconceivable. She joins her friend Alana also on an unscripted podcast called 9 Minute Musings. So please welcome Mehrab Zur.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, of course. Now, what I love is how you bring the real life to the stage and you make it hilarious. that's a big talent. So just, you know, tell us about your process, your natural process of how all this comes to light so naturally and you just go with it.
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, I've been in theater for many years, and in theater and also, excuse me, and also in real life, I've always tended to go comedy and humor. It's just more fun.
Mm-hmm. It is more fun.
So that's just how it is. I always try to find the funny and try to see, you know, the funny aspects of stuff. And there are a lot of things also in life that even if you don't look at it funny, it is funny because things are sometimes surreal and ridiculous and juxtaposed. And so that's just how it is. So that's, I guess, part of the process is just seeing, okay, where's the funny in that? Or, hey, that's pretty funny. Let's use it. So that's how it's always been. Whenever I can add funny, I add funny. And if I am to choose between a drama and a comedy, I'll always choose comedy.
Yes. I definitely feel the same way in creation. Comedy, just especially with the way the world is, you know, just to bring a little bit of lightheartedness, especially to areas where people are like, oh, wait, we usually don't joke about this, but you're like, no, let's bring some levity to this, which is what you do with your show.
Yeah, that's actually the whole, that show wasn't even supposed to happen. I mean, I wasn't aiming to create it. It was just, you know, while I've been doing, you know, theater in terms of, you know, producing and writing and acting and directing and everything. I've been doing that for years. But personally, I was also experiencing infertility, but I just didn't talk about it with anyone.
Right.
Of course, because no one talked about it. So that meant that I was the only freak of nature. So I wasn't going to talk about it. So
yeah.
It just kind of stayed this vicious cycle of silence that a lot of people are going through. But I didn't know at the time. And then just a few years ago, I sort of kind of felt like I could talk about it or a little bit about it, but I just didn't know how. And then I kind of just said, oh, wait a minute, comedy, that's my language. I can do that. And so I literally just invited some friends over and sort of performed my story of things that I was going through the past few years. But I did it like through, you know, funny skits and characters mm-hmm. and silly songs and all these props. And like, I just did it my way. Mm-hmm. And that was the way I could do it without just like, you know, going into this like spiral of dread and sadness, because that's basically, you know, infertility is anything but funny, but I just couldn't, you know, talk about it otherwise. And then, you know, it kind of sparked this whole conversation between us friends that, you know, we kind of saw things that and brought up things that we didn't know about each other. And I was like, are there a lot of other people not talking about this thing? Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I didn't know. And it got me really intrigued. And then my friends also were, of course, you know, they were like, you have to do this as one of your shows. You have to create this as a show. And I was sure that no one would want to see it besides, you know, people that knew me. But I said, okay, it's a challenge. And it was also the first time I was going to do a solo show, because I've never done solo performance. I've always had, you know, other actors with me, which is a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. But I decided to take that challenge both professionally and personally, like exposing my own, you know, private, raw, secret parts of me that I never talked about. But I did it. And again, I thought it was going to be a one night only event, but the response was so, you know, unexpected and positive that I said, okay, there are a lot of other people going through this that need this. And there are a lot of other people that don't know what this is, but they have people in their life that are going through this and should know about it. So it kind of like became this sort of mission that I have to do this show, you know, every time I could. So yeah, that's how I kind of started.
Wow. So how long did it take you to write it?
So when I did that very first night at my house with my friends, it was just, you know, I was just putting together some stuff, and it took a, you know, I don't know, I guess a couple weeks, you know, to do it, but it was very rough. But then when I took on, you know, the challenge of actually making it a real proper show, it took me about a year. To do it, you know, I mean, a year meaning, cause I was doing other things too, you know, I was working, on my other stuff and, and, you know, and family and everything and, you know, real life. So, but it took about a year from that time until I premiered, to get it like to the place where I was, you know, ready.
Right. Happy with it.
Yeah.
Wow. Now,
and even ever since then, it's, you know, it's the natural state of a show. It continuously evolved since I premiered it. So I keep, you know, developing it and saying, oh, wait, we could tweak it here. We can add that. Okay. We could take that out. And, you know, so, that's just the fun of, you know, the nature of a show.
So when you did it, it was first in the living room, right? Before you took it to the... So it's evolved since then. You've changed little parts of the script. Was there any... okay, what's like the newest thing you've added to the script that wasn't in there that first debut night?
Oh, wow. There were a lot. You mean the first debut when it was a real show?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, from the time you
when
it
was a real show, I had this part where I used I wanted to kind of use puppets, but then I didn't have puppets, and so I used these like dolls, but like actual dolls, and I wasn't happy with them because some were big enough but some were small, and they weren't kind of the same language. And then I changed it to kind of this actual, it's kind of like a puppet but in a different way, and it's you know, big. And so I used that, and I'm still thinking, I don't know if I if I could use that or not, because sometimes I like it, sometimes I'm like, maybe I'll do it differently. You know, so that's different. I added a little song that wasn't there, in the premiere, and, you know, like things like that. So
I saw the video, the handbag wrap. Is that part of the show too?
No, the handbag wrap was actually in the prequel, if you will. So there was another show that I did, that was very kind of women centered. And so that was, I did a rap about all the things I have in my bag.
Now that's hilarious. Now have women come out to thank you for helping? That's awesome.
And a lot of different people, like I've had women that have gone through it that said, thank you, I finally relate. You're finally, you know, someone understands me, to people that are on different sides. Like someone said, you know, our daughter's going through this and we had no clue this is what she's actually going through. Or you know, someone said, you know, that my mom went through years of treatment before she had me, and I didn't really know what that was until now. And I've had, you know, medical professionals that said, wow, you know, we never really, you know, they see this every day and they don't really see all the other parts of this person. Mm-hmm. So it's that it's, you know, because every person is going through something and has their own baggage.
Yes.
And, you know, as we're walking about our day-to-day life and cross paths, mm-hmm. we don't take into account that each person has an entire world going on.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, it kind of also shows that we could just be a little bit more tolerant.
Yes. Yeah, I think it's even harder with the way our world is so fragmented, especially with technology and how even during the pandemic, it's isolated people. So it's kind of nice to be able to bring something out into the light, but also keep it funny, you know? I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but that's what's amazing and so talented about it is that you can just take something like that that's so, you know, traumatic and heartbreaking, but you people end up walking out of the theater and they feel better. So
yeah, that's gotta and be it's like, thank you. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, I mean, for me, for sure, at least, you know, the very first one, it's kind of like also this therapy for me because mm-hmm. I have to relive this stuff every time I do it and I have to like go through it. So it is kind of also therapy for me, but I didn't even take into account that it was also therapy. It was like this group therapy for everyone there.
Yes.
Cause it's like, it's okay to talk about this and it's okay to laugh about this. And hey, did you ever think about that? And you know, we're human beings. We tend to go through a lot of similar stuff. And also in this show, I don't talk only about infertility. You know, there's this whole part I do about gynecology, which every woman goes through. And, you know, and men kind of hear about, but don't really know, or if they are, you know, in the medical field, like it's so interesting to be like, oh yeah, you know, like you, there are some laughs that you hear that, you know, it's like one of those related laughs, you know, it's like, oh, that's relatable. I've done that. Or right. I've seen that. Or, oh, that's what that is. You know? So that's a great,
it
great
is.
Feeling.
Yeah, and speak. That brings me to Smile and Nod. You have the gyno song, and it's a song that helps women get ready for that awkward visit to the doctor, to the gynecologist.
Yeah, and it's always awkward. Mm-hmm. And you know, women, you know, normally should be doing this yearly, and it's awkward every single time. And when you're doing infertility, it's constant. It's like almost daily.
Yeah,
and it's just like, this is a weird situation. Like, no, and no one says it's weird.
No.
And so I thought, okay, it's, you know, and I keep telling myself when I'm there, I'm like, everyone does this, even celebrities, even, you know, famous people, historians, you know, scientists, they're all going through this. It's okay. You know, you're just kind of like trying to tell yourself it's okay.
And I'm sure it was worse back in the medieval ages having to go to the gynecologist back then. Imagine what it would have been like then, you know, so you're like, well, we have it a little bit better today.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell us about the podcast you co-host, 9-Minute Musings.
Yes. So, you know, I do a lot of different stuff creatively. And this one was kind of the first one I did that wasn't, you know, wasn't a professional venture. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it as, you know, something that I did as like one of my shows. Mm-hmm. I did it just for fun. And it started right before the pandemic started.
Okay.
Because it was just with a friend of mine. She's not an actor. She's not, you know, she's just really funny.
Yes.
And, you know, we always have these funny conversations and we said, we should record these conversations one day, but we never really got around to do it. And then we were like saying, okay, let's figure out how to do it. We didn't know if we should do it on screen, if it should be a podcast, if it should be, you know, we didn't know what to do with it. And then the pandemic happened. And then we were kind of like forced not to be together. So that you know, crossed out the whole being together on screen thing. So we're like, okay, we can't do that.
Wow.
And then we kind of said, okay, let's do a podcast. And we just randomly rambled about stuff that, you know, random topics that we find either amusing or something that we should talk about, even though no one cares. But, you know, we just do it for fun. And we're kind of like based on the antithesis of professional podcasting. So we don't use, you know, any special stuff. Mm-hmm. We, you know, we would record on like whatever we could find our logo is something that I literally sketched with stick figures. Like, it's the antithesis. We start our episodes in mid-sentence. Oh, like, we don't have an intro song. We don't have, you know, we do everything like how, you know, as simple as we could do, as bare bones as we could do, because that's what we just wanted to focus on the, you know, what we're talking about. And then, you know, we would ramble on. Our episodes were initially like, I don't know, 20 minutes or whatever. Like, you know, not everyone's going to find this interesting if they ever listen. Mm-hmm. Let's chop it down. And so we said, okay, let's see if we could do it for, you know, I don't know how we came up with 9, but we just did 9-minute music. So that's like our limit is 9 minutes, and we cut off at 9 minutes. We literally say bye and end the show. Like at 9 minutes, like that's when it cuts off.
So it's like when you're doing at an open mic night and they give you what, like 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And you see someone blinking the light. Okay, yeah, have a good night.
Yeah, but it's even worse. It's like that old-timey cane that kind of drags you by the neck off the stage. It's like that.
I love it. So how many episodes have you done of 9-Minute Musing so far?
Oh, my gosh. I think we have published now, if I'm not mistaken, 20-something. Okay. But we have a few more that we just... And again, we don't do this every week on a set time. Yeah. Sometimes we release like 4 episodes in a row. Like it's so not, you know, it's not at all like how a podcast maybe should be. But, you know, that's, we just do it because we're saying, okay, we're having fun.
Yes.
Listeners can have fun. That's all we can hope for.
That's all you can hope for. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, what's your latest project that you're working on, your latest venture?
Well, my latest venture is actually sort of back to Inconceivable. I really think that I haven't kind of maximized its potential because, you know, it premiered in 2017 and really started to pick up in 2018, 2019. Literally, there were things happening. I was talks with, you know, theater producers. Mm-hmm. I had a whole U.S. tour set up. Literally the first weekend of my tour in the US was the weekend of the shutdown, like first weekend. And so everything shut down. And so for me, I did convert virtually, but I just know that I was just, you know, picking up and I was just having people like see it and get some sort of, you know, goodness from it.
Right.
So I really do want to, you know, do this, like see this mission through of having more people see it and learn and, you know, relate and vent and whatever. So that's my goal now is to get it seen by as many people as possible. I want to go back, you know, as in person is kind of getting back on track. I want to do that.
Yes.
And, you know, hopefully one day get it on like a streaming platform, like Netflix. That's like my thing now. So, yeah.
Wow. So when are you going to perform it again? When's the next, venue you got lined up?
I'm actually having a performance come up in the next couple of weeks. I mean, I do like, you know, different kinds of shows. Like I do open to the public shows, like where anybody can go and get a ticket to like, you know, fundraisers, private events. So obviously those ones I don't, you know, publicize, but I do have a couple of private events coming up.
Okay.
And then the public shows, I'm hoping that midsummer, I'll be able to kind of, you know, come out with those dates and have them ready. So yeah, it's kind of like this kind of mixed nervous feeling, like, because I had everything all set up and then everything shut down. So now I'm kind of like, wait, do I do that again? And then have everything, you know, so I'm kind of still, I'm finalizing the dates with a very, very cautious, you know, cautious look.
Oh, you're in case something else happens. Is that what you're thinking or?
Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, it's case another shutdown happens or I don't know, but now I'm, you know, it's a bit better than it was. I think now people are, it seems like we're kind of stepping, you know, progressing in a way, because you know you can't compete with in-person experiences like
you know
theater and shows.
It is, especially getting that response of immediate laughter.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I know this.
Yeah, yeah,
and killing you know for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's great. So I'm providing a link to the show in the show description so people can check out clips and also hopefully in the near future be able to see you live.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Well, it's been great having you on the show, and look forward to your future projects.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Everything you will see tonight is completely true. We're going to talk about SEX. First, we take some tests. Well, not we,
you.
Well, not you too, just you, the woman. What to do? Women have all the machines.
The show was fantastic.
It was hilarious.
It surpassed actually my expectations.
Side effects include fatigue, nausea, changes in complexion, and complete insanity. I'll talk to a whole bunch of people I don't even know. And here we are.
My guest today has been Mehrav Zor. I'll leave you with some bloopers and poopers. However, in order for me to break these next two, or let me start again. Poop, 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 poop. Poop, 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 poop.
If you were alive, we're in different time zones. It's already 2021 and... What's the matter?
The mic, yeah. Okay, what are we...
Woo!
Woo!
But neither does hate. Woo!
I'll spare you the last 2 minutes because I have Hank and Cletus doing an ad for a men's product and they get pretty graphic. A little jealousy going on there. So, yeah. Testing 1, 2. Did you get the fart in there? More poop. Who loves poop? I love poop. Poop is good, isn't it? Oh, no. Why did I say that? Oh, my God.
Is that right? Hey, trivia question for you. Well, who was the Duke and did he take the Gunsmoke? He almost did. His name was John Wayne.
All the mundane details that I did. And this was kind of the red flag for me was when she said to me, you remind me of my ex. And that was our last conversation.
Oh, that's always a classic. I'm going to use that next time I don't want to carry on dating someone.
Well, there you go. I'm glad I was able to help you.
Yeah. Okay. Se voi state ascoltando questo... Repeat.
Sure.
He said she heard. These guys are a riot.
And the Zeppelins are still sitting in my stomach. Mm.
I love the quirky comedy.
What? We're like squatters.
The music.
In California, there's many downloads.
And now I can wear the show.
Wow.
That's right. I just bought some He Said, She Heard merchandise. I got a t-shirt.
So beautiful.
A mask.
Who's that?
A tank top.
She's smoking hot.
Thank you. Because on TeePublic, there's a sale going on.
Did you see that?
Head over to www.hesaidsheheard.com and click on Shop Now.
Vámonos.
Nom, 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 nom.
Honey, let's go. That's www.hesaidsheheard.com and click on Shop Now.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the new He Said, She Heard.
What?
I like your energy, man.
Half the crowd we could see was like super happy, like, wow.
Yeah!
And the other half was like, what are you doing?
What's going on here?
Who are you?
The sheets are on fire.
Because you farted.
Now look, there you go, put me on the spot.
So we're good to go. Two girls, one gold shot.
I'm going to have to stop you there. I think you've got the wrong end of the stick.
What sort of stick are you referring to?
There's one particular book that we do stock. The Karma Sutra.
That was so hard to keep that up.
I'm sure I'm the first person to say this, but man, I love your voice. I am transformed to LA Confidential. It is amazing. So much resonance.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Yeah.
Come on, He Said.
She Heard.
That was really good. I love it.
Oh, thank you.